please rise and join us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Boone County Board of Supervisors, November 17th, 2020. Can everybody hear me? If you can't, I can. Anybody have any problem hearing me? Okay, if anybody online can't hear me, give us a call or email. I will remove this mask long enough to talk. Okay, do we have any changes to the tentative agenda? We have an agenda. The department heads, elected officials, Terry Johnson, Boone County Auditor.
Good morning. Last Thursday, we finished our post-election audit. Right now, the recount board got two members. They're deciding on their third member. And so as soon as I get information from them, we'll find out when we start the recount of all over 20,000 ballots. And we're just still trying to get stuff done from the election, cleaning stuff up and getting other projects done that need to be done for that. And then I also want to comment about, we need to put out an ad for a Veterans Affairs director. I sent everybody a job description the other day for that, and so I just need everybody to review that. And then I also sent it to Bob House, right, so that he'd give it to his board to review that so we can get that posted and find a replacement before the end of the year. So, and still need to work on the ordinance updates and try to catch up with some of the stuff that was kind of put on hold during the election. So that's it.
I looked at that, it looked fine to me. I didn't respond, but I... Colin Gerst, IT.
Just keeping busy. Got me and the rest of the guys back in the office here, so we're trying to get caught back up and try to work on everything that we can, and we're back in the office now, so.
Is your wife forgiving you yet?
She's getting there. She's getting there.
You're sticking her with the children.
Yep. She's still kind of stuck home today with them because of the 2 weeks after the 10-day isolation, so the girl's got to stay home until the 1st of December, so she's still roughing it a bit.
Ryan Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Things are moving along good. Obviously, weather's been good. Hopefully pouring a slab up at our shop site tomorrow. And we took some bids. I have a report for that, for the building itself. I'll report that later. I want to note that we do have bid packets out for the Flint Bottom paving project. Those will be bids that we'll take in December. Second Tuesday, I want to say off the top of my head, but that's a local bid. So we're working towards that. And the Highway 99 bridge, Flint Creek Bridge, is coming along very well. Had good weather and they've made good use of it. We were talking about that this morning, and the bridge is gone. And actually they were working on getting rid of the last old pier yesterday. So made a lot of headway and I'm glad to see it. It's waters down, good weather, and that's what you want to see, and they're making good use of it. So
good. Thanks, Ryan.
Good.
Jared Lassiter, Land Use.
Good morning. Nothing really. We have a item on the agenda plus the work session, so I think I'll just keep it brief here. I think we've been it's kind of a quieter part of the year generally than it's been earlier this year, although we've had a few more inquiries since the election, so nothing else to report.
Thank you, Jared. Matt, you've got a
Just on the agenda item today.
Agenda item, okay. Sheriff Clark, Kevin Glendenning.
Things are going really well at the Sheriff's Office. We're in the final stages of our hiring process. We'll have two new hires probably to present to you towards the end of December, and hopefully be ready to start the academy in January. But other than that, nothing major to report.
Good. Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
As you may be aware, jury trials have been suspended again to February 1. So we'll just continue to manage the backlog. We're working with Doug and Coulter at the jail to see who we can get out on pretrial release or whose cases we can resolve fairly quickly to get them out of the jail and either someplace more or less hospitable, or if we're going to get them on probation or into some sort of community-based situation. So that leaves us time to be working on some other projects as well. The CarPal system is in. We are working out bugs. Sometimes it just is a reminder to the staff that, no, it's not the old system, it's the new system. And so yes, we're working out bugs. But overall, I think we're really, really going to like it. It's going to make things just a lot easier. And then after the first of the year, we're going to start going paperless once we can trust that we've got some of the bugs worked out. And then we continue to work on our courtroom AV project. We did put in a grant. And I know I've worked out with Judge Brown. Apparently the state also has some grant money. So we have a plan. So whoever gets their money or doesn't get their money, we have backup plans to make sure that we can get the third floor courtroom up to speed for just generally being in the 21st century, but as well as being able to accommodate COVID restrictions. I know I did a trial a couple of weeks ago, and it is really limiting, especially if you have significant video or photographic evidence. It's just laid out poorly, and it's very hard to continue to do everything you need to do and then make sure all 12 to 14 jurors can actually see everything you're trying to tell them. So we're excited, hopefully we should know December 15th on our grant, and then we are ready to get the ball rolling. So that is an advantage to jury trials being suspended. It'll give us some time to get that up and going.
Silver lining.
Yeah, I always try to look for one.
So the bugs that are in your system, is that getting used to it, or is it?
A little bit of both. I think there were obviously some things that we liked in the old system that we're trying to figure out if the new system can do it that way. But I think the bulk of it is just actually people, again, old dogs, new tricks. You know, this is a system we've had since 2008. And this system really was just kind of an upgrade from the system they'd had for the 10 years before that. So we're actually asking staff who've been there and worked with this one system for 20 plus years to try to do things very, very differently now. So, you know, it's a work in progress.
Yeah, I understand. Being a lousy computer man.
We could loan you Bob for a couple of weeks and knock out some of the technical issues.
A lot of it is just, you know, getting used to the steps that they did in dialogue, and then just now there may be an additional step here and there. I think a lot of it is just truly getting used to it, which is why we didn't want to start using some of the features like getting the videos downloaded through CarPal from law enforcement. We decided to wait on that because we simply knew for the first couple of months it was us getting used to it, working out some technical glitches, which we've had. And getting us ready for the next wave of getting all the information, reports, everything will now start coming in online through the cloud. So we figured we'd go through step one, get through phase one without killing each other. There have been a few tense moments. When one person doesn't like the way the system works, and then their counterpart loves the way it works, and then trying to get everybody to compromise that, okay, let's just do it this way. And then discovery is going, I think, then the next phase will be convincing some of our more set in their ways defense attorneys. We just have the feeling we're going to get some backlash from a couple people when we explain to them that they're going to have to get all of their discovery online. Some of them have already said, it's great, I can't wait till you get it started. And then we have a couple of others who I'm not even sure know how to turn on their computers,
yeah,
let alone get their discovery that way. So we just know it's going to be a work in progress, probably for the next 6 months or so.
Yeah.
But so far, I love it now that I'm getting used to it. It's taking getting used to.
You've reinforced all my suspicions about working in an office full of lawyers. Thank you, Lisa. Doug Irvine, Correctional Center.
Good morning. Everything's going pretty good out there. We're extremely busy. Our population's back up to 94 this morning. So we are farming out quite a few, I think 17. I believe 6 are waiting to go to prison, with 4 waiting to go to the residential facility. That's been, actually, the state came up with a process that's working still. It just goes good for a while, and then the prison stopped taking people, and so it's a fine balance there. But they are taking people at this time. It's just, it's gotten slower. Still testing everybody for COVID testing before we go to any other facility. And with the courts being on hold till February 1st, gonna slow down the whole system even more. So we're working hard trying to find beds. The courts and the county attorney's office is working great with us on trying to do the same thing. They understand the problems there, but just the solutions are a little bit more difficult to make happen. We also been staying busy. We did have our state jail inspection. That was done virtually, which just meant he didn't come here in person and tour around the jail. We did video a lot of it for him, got him all the correct information, and that inspection came out just fine. Had all the documents and everything he needed, so we was busy on that. And the only other thing is agenda item that I'll explain when we come to that.
Thank you, Doug.
Yeah.
Krista Pogemiller, Public Health.
Good morning. We obviously continue to be very busy with contact tracing at our office. The current 14-day rolling percentage of activity is 21.6, which is actually down. So we are seeing that slow down just a little bit. Our current positive cases since the beginning is 2,383, with 1,270 that have recovered. Recently, just beginning of last week, the state announced that they were going to change their contact tracing due to the fact that we have so many cases throughout the state. It was, for all of us, local health as well as the state doing their contact tracing, impossible to keep up, because what we are finding is if we would call someone, they would have a number of outside of the home contacts, and it could be a very long list. So they switched to where they're only doing household contact tracing. A majority of their cases, they said over 70% of the infections were actually linked to household infections anyway. So that seemed to be a majority of the infectious or transmitting it to someone else. So we have also started to do the same to try and get cases caught up, because we were just getting so many cases every day. It was impossible. We just didn't have the resources. But we do encourage people, if you've tested positive for COVID and someone, reach out to the people that you've been close to and close contact with, that's anyone within 6 feet for duration of 15 minutes, and let them know that you're positive. And those people just need to take the appropriate measures, staying home for 14 days since their last contact with a positive person. Governor Reynolds obviously put out an enhanced public health measures yesterday, and those became effective at 12:01 last night. And again, trying to flatten that curve, even our region is having some challenges with having enough hospital beds and ICU type of beds. I think that continues to be a concern. And so, they talked about now obviously a mask mandate for anyone who's going to be anywhere where they're within 6 feet of someone for a duration of 15 minutes. And they're limiting social gatherings for no more than 15 people indoors and 30 people outside. Recreational events for the youth, adult, sporting and recreational gatherings are prohibited except for high school, college, and professional sports. High school and sports and extracurricular sporting, only 2 spectators permitted for each high school athletic performer or person in competition must wear a mask and maintain 6 feet from other spectators. Students can be no closer than 6 feet and are required to wear masks. Bars and restaurants are closed in-person services at 10 p.m. And then fitness groups, group activities are prohibited. Casinos and gaming facilities, masks required except when seated to eat or drink. closure or prolonged contact establishments, and they call those bowling alleys, pool halls, bingo halls, arcades, indoor playgrounds, children's play centers, closed in-person services at 10, and they must be masked whenever masked when required, when not seated, ensure groups are, and individuals are 6 feet apart. And then non-essential and elective surgeries, they're reducing those to non-essential surgeries to a level that uses at least 50% fewer beds than it did in the average of September 2020, trying to provide more spaces to accommodate the, obviously, the increased number of COVID cases. And other than that, I have an agenda item from the Board of Health.
It helped when they took off that 115 or 120 positives that they had on the second, when those rotated off the 14-day average.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Another week to get off it, the ninth of that 144, something like that.
Yeah. Well, and today, I have to tell you, today is the first day that our list wasn't, I think we're down to 3 pages today. I think yesterday's we were at 8 pages. There are just so many of these coming in so fast that we couldn't hardly keep up with them. So we're doing all we can. All of our nurses are pretty much contact tracing at this point in time to try and get caught up. Because you're right, 144, 150 cases, that's a lot of cases.
So if is Jim immune, he won't get it again?
So there's a presumption of antibodies for 90 days from the time that you have COVID. And so the recommendation is if you're exposed to a close contact, not wearing masks, within 90 days from the day that you tested positive, it's presumed you have antibodies. However, if in that 90-day time frame you become sick again, become symptomatic, they want you to quarantine just like you hadn't had it. And then obviously if you have a high-risk symptom, one of the high-risk or two of the low-risk symptoms, then you need to quarantine and be tested. Obviously, if you test negative, then symptoms are something else, or if a doctor diagnoses something else. But the presumption is anyone who's symptomatic, we're going to presume that, you know, it's COVID until we rule that out, even the folks who've had it.
You know, I think one of the worst treatments that I got at the hospital, when I was in the hospital, when they come and give you that shot in the belly. That is painful.
I'm sure.
I don't know what it was for, but
rabies. Need that once a month from here on out.
Yeah. Thank you, Krista.
You're welcome.
Got anybody online?
I have three on here. The first one I have on here is Rodney Bleesner, Des Moines County Maintenance.
Rodney Bleesner, Maintenance.
He's on mute.
You're on mute, Rodney.
Oh, I'll come back.
There.
Hi. Good morning. Sorry about that. We're just staying busy. Got a lot of stuff going on, trying to prepare for the winter months ahead, but I have nothing new to add at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Rodney.
Chris Lee, Des Moines County Conservation.
Chris Lee, Conservation.
Good morning. Not a whole lot to report today. We do still have a couple campers up here at Big Hollow, really sticking it out through the winter months. I guess it's really not that cold though, honestly. This is pretty good camping weather when you're going to get down to it. All of our parks are closed up except for Big Hollow. We are going to start slowly closing things up here today, start picking up some of the tables, and we'll leave the water on to the sites at least for a little while. If it looks like we're going to get a sustained freeze, that's when we'll shut that off. But the shower house has been off for a while, and we still seem to be getting some activity up here. So we'll keep going with it, just kind of play it by ear. We have kind of transitioned our staff. We've got our nature center staff helping out with some field work. One, due to the nature center being closed thanks to the coronavirus, but also we're a couple of staff down, and so they're kind of filling in for that. River's coming up a little bit, and so the team's out right now pulling the docks up. We will leave the boat docks out I know we get a lot of requests from the duck hunters and late season boaters to leave those out as long as we can. And we will leave those out until it looks like we're gonna risk some ice on the river, at which point we'll get those pulled out. We don't wanna risk our staff trying to pull those out when there's ice out there. We've done that before, and that's not a fun thing. So otherwise, just kind of keeping things maintained and kind of like Rodney getting transitioned into winter mode and going from there. So that's it for today.
Thanks, Chris.
Janelle Nally Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Janelle Nally Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Janelle, are you there?
Took it off of you.
We can't hear you, Janelle. Is your local phone muted? Well, I'm not sure what's going on with Janelle.
Janelle, whenever you get that straightened around, feel free to barge in. That's everybody.
That is everyone, sorry.
COVID-19, I believe Chris has addressed that. Correspondence.
I have not.
Proceed to discussion and vote. We have accounts payable in the amount of $1,868,243.97.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. I don't have any payroll claims for your birthday.
Okay, yeah, we might not have those, so
okay.
Those might have to wait.
Okay.
Janelle says she has nothing to report.
Thanks, Janelle. Krista, I believe this is you. It's a Des Moines County Public Health State of Iowa Board of Health directive.
Yes. So a few weeks back, the Des Moines County Board of Health did a position statement on large gatherings, encouraging people to really consider not having large gatherings or large events, or advising the community not to attend those if they feel the social distancing and proper mitigation can't be done to protect their safety. Well, as the weeks have gone on and our numbers have gotten more, when the Board of Health met last week, they decided they wanted to put together a directive, a little stronger than a position statement. So would it be okay if I read this?
Please do.
So, Des Moines County Board of Health, State of Iowa Board of Health Directive. Whereas the mission statement of Des Moines County Public Health is to protect and promote the health of all residents of Des Moines County. And whereas the novel coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, also referred to as COVID-19, is a virus that is highly contagious and primarily spreads from person to person and can result in a serious illness, long-term negative health impacts, and deaths. Whereas the number of COVID-19 positive cases in Des Moines County and the state is steadily increasing at a rapid rate, posing an immediate threat to public health of Des Moines County residents and visitors, potentially overwhelming the ability of the healthcare system to provide adequate care to those affected. And whereas there is currently no treatment that is curative for this virus, and there's evidence on how transmission occurs, and there's evidence on the effectiveness of public health measures to ensure the reduce the spread of the virus. Now, therefore, the Des Moines County Board of Health is therefore directing all citizens of Des Moines County to adopt the following public health measures. Social distancing. Limit the number of interactions you have with people from outside your household on a daily basis. Avoid all gatherings of people. Many recommendations specify a large gathering is more than 10 people. The more people there are in one place at a time, the more risk there is for everyone involved. Stay home if you are sick. Contact Des Moines County Public Health with the telephone number 319-753-8290 or healthcare provider for advice on how long to isolate. Hygiene. Wash your hands. use hand sanitizer, disinfect surfaces appropriately, face coverings, mask use, wear an appropriate face covering every time you leave your home and when you might be within 6 feet of someone from outside of your household. The purpose of face covering is to protect yourself and others. If you find yourself in a place where other people are not wearing face coverings appropriately, you are at great risk. You should consider leaving or avoiding that place altogether. Exceptions to face covering or mask wearing are children less than 2 years of age or individuals with a legitimate medical condition that would preclude them from wearing a face covering. However, it's anticipated the majority of people in our community can wear a face covering, and 100% usage in public is expected to get maximum benefits from this measure. These are fundamental principles of public health for decreasing the transmission of COVID-19 virus. During this pandemic, Des Moines County Public Health asks each citizen from Des Moines County to immediately comply with these directives to slow the transmission. It was adopted by the Des Moines County Board of Health on November 12th and was signed by the chairman of the board, Matthew Shivers. And obviously this is very similar to what the governor put in place yesterday. But not knowing that proclamation was coming, they wanted to make sure that they brought that directive to the community.
Thank you, Krista.
Thank you.
Questions? The and I see those, it says 2 years old and over. I have a grandson that'll be two in about a month. I haven't seen, but I see one FaceTime or something like that. I'm not sure that you could put something on him and it would stay there. That's kind of aspirational that age, isn't it?
I think it's definitely with children, anytime you have to monitor kids at that age anyway, but I would be very careful. If you're taking the child out in public and making sure that you, when you do put a face covering on, that they monitor that very closely, because you could easily get that in them. And I think that's the reason they put out that guidance. That guidance comes from the CDC. But as a parent, I would definitely, if I was putting a face mask on a 2-year-old, I would definitely keep a very close eye.
Thank you. Resolution for final plat of the Diane Gabe Wine subdivision. This, I'm guessing, would be you, Jared.
Yep. As it's been lately, it seems like every other week it's an unusual, interesting name, and then the week after that it's ordinary in comparison. So this is no exception there. This one is simply the name of the person that owns the land right now. So we're out in Pleasant Grove Township off Danville Road. Diane and her husband own land on both sides of Danville Road, and they currently reside in a house on the east side, and the intention of this subdivision is to split up the land they own across the street so that each of their two children will have a lot on which to build their own house. So lot one of this subdivision would be for one of those houses, and then the other one would be built on what was left of the parcel it's being carved out of. So lot one is just under 12 acres. It's laid out so that there will be a shared access easement off of Danville Road. The second page of the plat goes into the easement in detail. The actual lot line itself follows the center line of the existing driveway entrance from Danville, but the easement will be on both sides. So that ensures that in the future, if that ever changes, so that someone other than members of that family owns one or both of those lots, that access will continue to be preserved in the future. One slight complication with this subdivision is that there is a lot just to the north that has up until now been using a driveway easement through the Gabelines property, and that's based on an easement agreement from when they purchased that ground back in the 90s. And the way it's written, it doesn't specify the exact geographic location. Rather, it merely states that the owners of the property to the north have the right to use the driveway through the Gabelines property. So that would allow for, conceivably, that driveway could be moved to a different location, and then the easement would still be effective. So it's my understanding that both neighboring property owners and the Secondary Roads Department have been involved in plans to relocate that driveway so that the new house would be built in that area in the near future. But since it's still hasn't been completely finished yet. We just to make sure that this is addressed and the approval of the subdivision, we've included a condition on the resolution that the owner and developer of lot one shall not cause parcel A to be deprived of access to Danville Road and shall either maintain the existing driveway access easement or relocate it to another part of lot one or onto parcel A itself. So that just covers the different options available there and ensures that that access will be preserved going forward. Apart from that, we also included the pretty much our standard resolution whenever a home is proposed and a septic system has not been, a permit has not yet been filed for a septic system. So that's our standard resolution there, that a permit will need to be filed for a septic system before the home is built, and then it needs to be installed before the home is occupied. That's all we received in terms of comments, other than secondary roads, that they would need to continue using that access for lot one and then the remainder of the property to the west. So we would recommend approval of gable line subdivision with those two conditions.
So moved.
Thank you, Chair.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. We'll get these signed after the meeting for Jared. Yep. We have an agreement with Prodigy Solutions, an amended agreement. I think this is probably Doug.
It is. Prodigy is our service for our phones, inmate phones, I should say, as well as our video visitation. This amendment is in due to a state regulation where the most that a Prodigy can charge an inmate for a phone call has reduced to 21 cents per minute. This is statewide. So therefore, it's going to go from 30 cents as they were charging to 21 cents. Also, as part of that amended agreement, we were making 50% of the revenue at 30 cents per minute. Now it's going to drop to 21 cents per minute. However, we're going to make 55% of the revenue. So it's an amendment that really has got to take place as it's a statewide fee change.
Thank you, Doug.
And nothing else has changed with the video visitation. That's at 35 cents per minute, and we're collecting 20% of that revenue just because there's more expenses incurred with that through Prodigy Solutions.
Move approved.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. We have a conservation board reappointment. This letter is to express my interest in serving a full term on the Des Moines County Conservation Board starting January 2021. My time on the board filling out a term has been exciting, rewarding, and I hope useful to the citizens of this great county. I have a passion for preserving and making available to people the wonder of our natural resources. Thank you for your consideration in this matter. Julie Selinsky.
I move to appoint.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Tom Broker.
Yes. And we have an application for family farm tax credit that I believe Mr. Warner, the assessor, can
Yeah, it's just basically a recommendation for denial on that application. Reason being, the family farm credit has to be farm owned by the family and farmed by the family. In this instance, the property is actually cash rent, rented by somebody outside the family. So property owner, we made him aware of that stipulation, and so he still had an application filed. So just make a recommendation to deny it based on the fact that it's being cash rented to somebody outside the family. And the reason we're doing it now, the deadline for those is November 1st. It's kind of a different time frame than some of the other credits.
And we need a motion to refuse or deny this application.
Yes.
Okay.
So you're saying that these people rent this, so they're not eligible to get a farm tax credit because it's a rented ground?
Correct.
They're not family.
That's the, those are the kids of the previous owner.
Yeah. Yeah, but it has to be farmed by the family to receive that credit. That's just the
Carolina. Let live with it.
I don't understand it. I hate to.
I'll make a motion that be denied.
It's the way the code reads, the Iowa code reads.
It is in the code.
Yeah, but I referenced that in the letter that I referenced that code section.
I don't understand why Dad didn't do it before he died. But.
Yeah, I'm not sure of the specifics of that situation.
Exactly.
Of
that, yeah. Terry.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We have bid results for the Mediapolis Secondary Roads District Shop. That would be Mr. Carter.
So as I mentioned earlier, yesterday we took bids for the shop site on Iowa City Road. We've been slowly working toward this for a long while. In fact, we bid this, a month and a half ago and didn't get any bids, so we had to extend the completion time frame. We had just been too tight on our time frame from what we were told, and that appears to be accurate because we did receive three bids. Spectra Build out of Wapello was the low bidder at $225,690. And then two other bids. Second bid was Myers Construction, $297,041. And I'm happy to run a copy of those numbers for media if they'd like to have that instead of trying to follow. Then S&G Construction was third at $298,255. So competitive bids, happy with the numbers. I think it certainly fits the budget we had, and so we'll work on a contract with Spectra and move on. So, and just a reminder, the concrete work is what I was talking about too. That was a separate bid, and they're actually getting ready to finish that up hopefully this week for this project. So.
Thank you, Brian.
Yep.
Approved.
We just approved the contract.
I'm just reporting the bills. I don't have anything else. I just wanted to get it out there for public consumption, I guess. So.
Okay. We have a recount request for the 2020 general election from the Rita Hart for Congress campaign. It's Dear Commissioner Johnson, please accept this letter and the attached recount request form as my request for a recount in the election for Iowa's 2nd Congressional District. I am not including a bond with this request because the abstract prepared by the County Board of Supervisors show that the difference in the number of votes counted by for me as compared to my opponent are below the number for spendings specified in the Iowa Code for which bond is required. I intend for the recount to be conducted in full compliance with all COVID guidelines so that we can protect the health and safety of our friends, neighbors, and public servants. I will see that anyone who has been exposed to COVID within the past 14 days or showing signs of illness does not participate on my behalf, and I will direct my representatives to wear masks. I would respectfully ask that your office see that others take this, these same steps. Also, my campaign would be glad to discuss these matters or any other details relating to your account, your convenience. Does this need to be approved, or we just accept it?
By motion.
Okay, okay. We need a motion to approve this.
So moved.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Perry?
Yeah.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Now that, you don't know for sure if it's gonna be hand counted or through the machine?
Well, if that's up to the recount board to decide if they want a hand count, machine count, or both. And I don't know if the exact dates yet, exactly when they're gonna do the recount.
Okay, we have personnel actions. We have one for conservation. Tanner Gephardt, a seasonal conservation tech, a new hire, starting on or after November 23rd and ending before January 31st at $12 an hour.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Perry?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a correctional center personnel action for Russell Egan, an assistant cook, a new hire at $8.84 an hour.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Perry?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Just a little further insight on that. We are putting him as a assistant until he completes school here in, he said over the Christmas break he would have his credits, and we put him as a cook. That's what we're interested in hiring.
Okay. Thank you, Doug. We have the clerk's report of fees collected for October 2020 and the recorder's report of fees collected for October 2020. Both of these reports will be on file and available for public review at the auditor's office. We have minutes for the regular meeting of November 10th, 2020.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Perry?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Any other business?
I have none.
Future agenda items. We've still got that magistrate nomination committee to contact, move on that before the end of the year. Committee reports.
I had a meeting last night in Mississippi Valley workforce. Region 9, the old Region 9, which was in up north, you know, Clinton, Muscatine, Scott County, and them. And Region 16, which was in our region down here, had MOUs with our providers. And that expires the 1st of December. And the state hasn't got their end of the bargain held up yet. So we voted last night to extend that until June the 30th to give the state time to get their stuff together. So that's all I've got.
I attended a meeting of the Southeast Iowa Link Mental Health and Disability Services region, and we regular meeting where we approved claims, and we also approved the annual report. That's all I had. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board in light of the current lack of seating, You may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com. Or call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We'll give you 2 minutes to make that call or send an email. Anybody in the room have any public comment? Really? Let the record show.
Terry, the Rita Hart letter, did she deliver it?
No.
It says delivered by hand, and it looks like she typed it. Because there is no secretary of initials. I'm just curious.
No, they don't have to hand deliver it themselves. It has to be hand delivered, but it doesn't have to be themselves. So they had a.
When do they decide whether they want to, or until they meet, and they haven't all chosen, because somebody, they have to come up with a third person.
They have to come up with a third person. And if they can't come up with a third person, then the district chief judge determines who that third person is.
What's the margin? What's the margins on that vote?
40-something, isn't it now? Or it was when they called for the recount.
I don't 40, know for sure what it is statewide.
40-something, because I think I read it in the paper. I don't remember. It was something like that. It's pretty close. Because there's close to 400,000 votes, I believe, all together. When do they have to meet and decide to get this done?
It all has to be done within 18 days after the official canvass. And the state actually does their official canvass on November the 30th. And they don't allow any leeways for anything like this. So if there's any changes to the count, then you guys would have to have a special meeting to accept the new canvass numbers. If they don't change, then we don't have to worry about changing anything. So there's still a lot of ifs out there.
Thank you, Terry. 2 minutes. With an I, we're adjourned.
Aye.
We're adjourned.